Hi, I'm Mike Sklenz, and this is episode 56 of Nintendo World Report's connectivity podcast, Neilander's Giants. If you couldn't guess from the title, we've got a great segment featuring Neil and Patrick where they talk about Skylander's Giants, and then after that there is a report from the EB Expo from Nicholas and Andrew. Enjoy the episode.
Hey, and welcome to the Skylanders cast. I'm your host, Neil Ronahan, and with me is my Skylander cadet, Patrick Barnett.
I'm fighting through a cold tonight, but I am here for the Skylanders.
Yeah, so today is October 18th. It's almost over here on the East Coast, but today our Skylanders Giants Wii review went up, and I love the shit out of the game, giving it a 9.5. You can read the text for all the nitty-gritty details about how this game's fucking incredible and even better than the first one. Yeah, I mean, it's just everything that they added in the game is really, really good. It's, for the most part, more of the same, but it's a very refined more of the same. And what the same is, you know, this kind of addictive level grinding gauntlet gameplay where you're going through these different levels with these varied characters who all have different abilities as you level them up and build up their skill trees and, go through, like, imaginative worlds with fun enemies and kind of interesting boss fights. There's one level that I mentioned in the review where it has, like, the time shift stone stuff from Skyward Sword.
You mentioned this to me earlier this week, I think. And I was really excited by that because...
It's this really creepy level that I won't go into much. I think it's like the fifth or sixth level that you go through. There's 16 this time around. There were 24 in the first one, so it's a little bit shorter. But then there's a lot of other stuff like arena battles and a whole like collectible card game that you can play too. But going back to this time shift stone style level, is that it's like there's these weird like wooden people. They're called Willikins. Mm-hmm. And... basically, like, you can put them to sleep or awaken them, so it's kind of like the time shift stones from Skyward Sword with those creatures. I don't even know if they were ever really given a name.
They probably were. I can't remember.
But when you're going between, like, the two things, it's like you just go up to something, press a button, and, like, a crank turns, and then they all go to sleep. But, like, they're aware that you're basically, like, making them go away, because they'll just be like, bye! And then when you turn the crank back, I think they say like Willikin World, welcome to Willikin World, and it's really creepy.
was it something where you sat there and just kept cranking?
Yeah, I did do it a few times. I was just like, I wonder if they say different things. They really don't. It's like bye bye Willikin World. And then the boss there is really cool because it takes advantage of that, and even makes it kind of like Ikaruga, which is. Not what I expected from Skylanders, because they have these like these pellets that will come out at you, and depending on what color they are, like they introduce them halfway through the level, and the boss kind of features it heavily, where it's like a bullet hell shooter, except for it's a 3D like isometric action game, but it's the stuff where like you eventually get the ability to like switch through both worlds on the fly near the end of the level. And so you'll be switching between these discs that are going around, and they'll either be red, which will hurt you, or blue, which will heal you. So you need to keep on switching between that and dodge through different things. It's really fucking cool.
That reminds me of Outland. Have you played Outland?
Yeah, I've been playing some Outland.
That reminds me of, switching back and forth to either not get hurt or get hurt.
That is a game I really need to play more of.
Yes, you do. I finished 2 weeks ago.
Okay, how long is it?
I don't know, probably 20 hours. It's a longer game.
Whoa, really?
Maybe not 20. Maybe I'm exaggerating.
I think I put like 2, and I'm like, I probably got like 3 more hours before it's over.
I think it's longer than that, for
sure. It's really good, though. That's just a game that, because of it being the season, I kind of fell away from. Yeah. But there's a handful of PS3 games. And I think I also bought Hell Yeah in that time. But Skylanders. there's also a singing boss that's like this drill that sings to you. In bad rhymes. It's not quite like Great Mighty Pooh level, but it's still pretty funny.
Mid-fight he is singing to you?
Well, it's like there's 3 stages of the boss, and at the beginning of each stage of the boss, there's a verse.
Okay.
And it's like this really warbly, like, think like a... Oh, crap. What's the name of that robot in the beginning of Chrono Trigger? Just, like, basically, like, think of that, but, like, he's got a drill arm, and he's huge, and he's a boss. Gato, I think that was the robot's name.
Maybe.
But, I mean, that's just what the game does, is that it really, the basic gameplay isn't anything that's too crazy. It's pretty straightforward. But with the way that the characters level up and are all pretty unique, although at this point I think they have something like 48 characters, and I am noticing like trends in some of them, but they still make them varied enough where you might be like, oh, you know, that character's kind of like Hex. But then if you were to compare Hex and like the newer spellcasting character to each other, you'd be like, oh, yeah, and you know, there's a lot of differences. You know, that one's better range, this one's better up close.
The differences probably also become more apparent as you level them up to the max level, because aren't the skills more character specific at that point?
Yeah.
Okay.
And like there's some crazy stuff that you can get as you get characters to higher levels. Like I have the Tree Rex, the Life Giant. And he has this charge move that just first starts as a charge. And now I have it where like he can do it for a very long time. And if you hit A at the end of it, he'll just do this ridiculous like crowd clearing elbow slam. There's Swarm, who's the air giant, and he's a giant bee. And the two different skill paths for him is like one of them, like he has like stingers that like the primary attack is just a melee attack with like the stingers. And then if you hit the secondary attack button, he'll start to fly and then you can shoot the stingers. So there's one where it just kind of builds up that and makes that really punishing. But then his third attack is he just turns into a giant swarm of bees. And what I love is that, like, I was just going over the stuff for the character guide that you should all check out if you're interested in anything about Skylanders Giants, because I have every character listed. We don't have every move set up yet because I don't have every character yet. And it'll probably be a while before we can put every move set up there because, you know, at launch, we're not going to have all the new ones yet. But if you build up his swarm attacks, then it's stuff like he turns into a swarm and then the swarm will form into a giant axe. Like, it's so zany and fun. Like, I wish I could just, like, maybe I'll have to do this where I just send a bunch of characters in the game to doubters on staff and just be like, just play through it. You'll enjoy it.
Skylanders, Neil. So send me your figures.
But I mean, it's such a damn good game, and it honestly, like, I had a good feeling last year. I was looking forward to the game. There's a reason why I called the review for Skylanders last year. I saw it at E3, and I was like, this is going to be huge. But I still was thinking, like, this is going to be great for kids, like a Lego game.
Yeah.
And then as I played the game, and it still was pretty easy. Is like it's more on the Pokemon side of things than the Lego game side of things. I mean, not that it's like an RPG, but just in the idea that it's the kind of game that will branch between, you know, kids and adults, which I guess the Lego games do that to an extent. But at least for me, the Lego games have always been very much of like, do you enjoy the license? Then, you know, have a nice walk in the park if you're an adult. Whereas with Pokemon, it's like, do you enjoy this gameplay? Good. It's fucking hardcore and ridiculous. Skylanders isn't quite hardcore and ridiculous. But it's so damn good. It surprised me twice, because I didn't think the Giants would be so much better than the first one, but it really is.
I wanted to ask about the Giants. How do they exactly come into play? Like, can you put them on the portal at any given time, or is there like a meter you have to charge up?
No, I mean, they're just normal characters.
Oh,
I know.
You just use them whenever, and they're just giant?
Yeah. I mean, that for the most part, like, I think that Tree Rex, which is the guy that comes with the starter pack, he's stupidly overpowered.
See, that's what I think of when I think of a giant, like, just a bigger guy that's more powerful than...
Well, the thing with Tree Rex, and I think it's why he's the starter giant, is that he's so damn well-balanced, because, you know, every character has three attacks, and, I mean, those develop, and sometimes there's more. It's not as simple as that. But with Tree Rex, he's got, you know, his primary attack is just like, you know, he pounds the ground around him. So it's a melee attack. His secondary attack is a charging move, which, you know, the Giants are usually slow, but if you can kind of use that to move around more. And his third attack is a projectile. So it's like he has everything. And then once you build those all up, then he just becomes a fucking ridiculous powerhouse that can hit people from afar and knock the crap out of them up close. But then there, you got people like Crusher, who I think is up there with one of the Skylanders that, as of now, I'm kind of just like, this one sucks.
Is that a giant?
Yeah, he's the Earth Giant, and he's basically like the Iron... He looks like the Iron Giant, and he has a giant hammer that apparently is also named Crusher. So that's weird. And then, like, I don't know, as you upgrade it, like, the hammer becomes his dad's head. It's so weird. And all the characters, by the way, have really, like, detailed backstories. And it's like I've read some of them, and I'm like, you would have never guessed that by playing the game. But it's like cool that they're there, because I think kids,
Skylanders, have these backstories.
Yeah, okay. I think kids would really dig, you know, looking into that and being like, oh, so you know, Cinder was possessed by an evil, dark, like undead emperor thing, something like that. But with Crusher, like he's stupidly slow. He has the hammer attack. And a secondary attack is, like, he can turn people into stone with his eyes, but, like, that doesn't really work too well. And I guess as you build him up, he might be better, but every time I bring Crusher in, it's like, if I get into a skirmish with a bunch of enemies, like, he's toast. I mean, and the giants are bigger targets, so that's kind of the weakness of them, is that they're usually slower and they're bigger targets. But even, like, Swarm, he's a giant, and he's very maneuverable, partially because he can fly.
I wonder if they design characters like Crusher as more of a support character for cooperative play, where the
Probably.
Second player can just take control of him and turn an enemy into stone,
yeah.
So the other player can take care of whatever they need to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I would term Hex. She's an undead character from the first one. She's basically a spellcaster. She's kind of terrible by herself, but I think in a co-op setting, she'd be cool. And I have noticed that in the two-player competitive modes, which I had a lot of fun with a friend of mine. We played through all the modes, and you know they have new levels this time. And I think you have access to all the original levels too. You have to like spend in-game credits on them though. But like the two-player PvP stuff is fantastic. However, pretty much in everything, the giants are so overpowered. It's ridiculous. Because I was just like, I'm curious to see if this is balanced at all, and whoever had the giant won.
Hands down?
Yeah. Like, it wasn't even close. I guess maybe in the football one it's a little more even, because if you have someone who's more maneuverable, they can probably get away from the giant. But anything where you're fighting, unless the person plays really defensive and turtles and hits you from afar, you're pretty much screwed. But... I haven't even really gone into Skystones too much, and that's the collectible card game, which seemed kind of dumb. Because basically how it works is there's a 3x3 grid. Sometimes like one of the spaces might have an element to it, which means you can only put down a tile on that space that is of that same element. And you have 5 cards in your hand, and your opponent does too. And I think every time you play, your opponent will play first. And... Each tile, it's a square tile, so there's 4 sides, and on each side there will either be like no like teeth, or there will be like 1 tooth, 2 teeth, or 3 teeth. They probably have a more elegant term for that, but basically that symbolizes like how powerful it is on that side. And then you place the tile down, and then if you put a tile next to it, like your opponent puts down a tile, and you put a tile next to it that has more teeth on the side that matches up with that, then you get both tiles.
Huh.
And it gets... at first I was like, oh, this seems like it's going to not really go anywhere and be really easy. But it got challenging pretty quickly. I mean, it's not like, It's not like it's like impossible or anything, but it is challenging, and you do need to kind of plan where you're placing things.
What makes you not just use the largest amount of teeth each time?
Well, because, you have a limited amount of room.
Okay.
Because it's only a 3x3 grid, and it's basically whoever has the most squares by the end of it wins.
Okay.
So it's a lot about, boxing stuff in so they can't change it back even if they tried, and, making sure you're setting it up so that way you have, the ability to turn back anything that they put down. It's cool.
It's interesting.
I wish there was some kind of like two-player mode with that though.
There isn't.
that would be kind of cool if you could kind of go, like, you know, play each other on it.
Yeah.
But I know you can use the, you can play that on the gamepad, so that's kind of fun.
That does sound fun.
Yeah. But that's pretty cool, and it's a nice diversion from the action. Because generally, like, you'll have to go out of the way for a little bit. Like, they kind of shove it down your throat during one level. I think it's, like, the fourth level. They're like, eh, everyone's playing Skystones. And then after that, you kind of need to seek it out, and it usually is hidden behind secret stuff. So you
is there any reward for doing this?
Yeah, usually, well, you'll get a new tile every time.
Okay.
And sometimes they'll be, like, guarding, like, you'll have to beat someone at Skystones to, like, you know, unlock a cage that was holding a treasure chest or something. So, do you have anything else that you are curious about?
Oh, well, I am going to be getting my Skylanders, the original Skylanders for the 3DS, in probably 2 days from now. It'll finally arrive. I managed to get that for $40. So, listeners out there who haven't decided to delve into the realm of Skylanders, you should probably start looking for good deals on the original.
Yeah.
Or Giants, if you just want to start there.
Yeah, I mean, the Giant stuff, it probably won't be on sale right away. I know they have stuff at Toys R Us where it's like buy one figure, get one half off or something like that. I mean, there's always deals like that because they want you to buy more. Ooh.
Yeah. I know what I'm going to try and get for Christmas this year.
Yeah.
Just a whole slew of those figures because Giants, do they still do the thing where there's like different areas that are restricted to only certain elements?
Okay. Pretty much, if you want to have access to everything in both games, you need to have a minimum of 8 figures. Hmm. Like, at the end of the day, like, you could totally romp through that game with just the 3 that are included. And, I mean, it'll still be a fun experience. But if you want to, if you are a completionist, you need at least 8 figures.
One for each element. Are those extra areas really that rewarding, or are they just little kind of side?
You'll get hats and treasure chests. Some of them are cool. Some of them are kind of just like, go through this door, go here, collect something. Some of them are, like, intricate puzzles.
I guess the other thing I want to ask about is it actually a hard game, or is it really, really simple?
The first one on, like, the console, the home console first one, is piss easy. Near the end it does get challenging, and I would call it kind of, like, kid hard. As in, like, yeah. You know, if you're experienced with video games, yeah, the first Skylanders is going to be very easy. But once again, it wasn't balanced for you. It was balanced for kids. And in that regard, yeah, they did exactly what they had to do. In Giants, it looks like that won't be an issue. There are 3 difficulty settings at the start. And once you beat it, you unlock, like, the Nightmare Mode, which I haven't played much of, but it's really hard. And even I played on normal for the most part, and even that seems more challenging than what it was before. I think easy was kind of what the difficulty level was in the first one.
Now I'm getting the 3DS version.
Yeah,
can you comment on that?
I've yet to play the 3DS Giants version, but the first 3DS game was, I would say, on the whole, more challenging than the Wii version. I mean, they're different games because the 3DS one, for those who don't know, is more like a Spyro game, honestly.
It is a
3D platformer, and it's set up in the same vein as something like a Super Mario 64, where you're basically going through different metaphorical paintings and completing different tasks in each level.
You can also jump.
yeah, you can double jump even.
Ooh.
And
even better.
And in that, like, to get to the end of that game is pretty easy, but to get all of the crystals, it's pretty challenging.
Is that the same thing where I need 8 different Skylanders?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because there's somewhere, like, you need to beat it with a specific element. But, yeah. I mean, it's kind of like the same difficulty as something like, I don't know, Super Mario 64, where you can theoretically beat that game with, what, 60 stars? And this game, you can beat it with X amount of crystals, and that's, if you want to 100% it, then you got to go play a lot more of the game and do the harder stuff.
The 3DS version of Giants is developed by the same people, right?
No.
Vision. Oh, no, it's not.
Yes, the first 3DS game was developed by Vicarious Visions.
Okay.
Vicarious Visions is working on the Wii U port for Giants. They also made the Skylanders Cloud Patrol, which came out on iOS earlier this year. N Space is making Giants on 3DS.
Okay. Is it going to be similar to the original?
Everything that I've seen about it and actually talked to people at Nspace about, they made a sequel to last year's game. I don't know what kind of differences lie there, but if you like the first 3DS game, Skylanders Giants on 3DS should give you more of that same experience.
It would be nice if they continue to differentiate these games like under the same Skylanders name, kind of like what they did with Epic Mickey.
I guess
that's a good point of comparison.
I mean, and the thing that kind of attracted me to the idea of Skylanders on Wii and 3DS, or Skylanders on any system and 3DS, is that you're getting these characters, which call them DLC, call them whatever you want, and you get Spyro, and you can use this character in two games and have the experience that you gain in each game carry over to the other one. And I think that's fucking awesome.
And you can carry that over to any of the systems, yeah. I guess.
I mean, that's the kind of thing is that, like, I'm looking at it this way, where I have the Wii version of this game, I'm going to get the 3DS version, and I'm probably going to get the Wii U version, and I don't need to buy any new figures for that. I just use what I already have. Obviously, I have way too fucking many. I think I crossed the 40 mark.
Oh my god.
Well, because I have all the original 32,
yeah.
And I had
we're
a few other.
We're going to stage an intervention for you.
Also. Yeah, I mean, well, in all honesty, like the intervention happened a while ago when I didn't get all the legendary ones.
It didn't help at E3 when they gave you that golden Spyro.
Yeah, which I sold on eBay.
Oh, why?
Lauren asked me the question: do you want this, this special Spyro, or do you want $100? And it was a pretty easy answer. Like, I'm sorry, I'm a son of a bitch, I know, but
this
money's
is a side
tight,
question,
man.
Did you also sell that Assassin's Creed book?
Yeah, also for like $80.
See,
like, the funny thing is, I know Zach had an epic issue with trying to send that, because I think like someone from Australia wanted to buy it from him.
The Skylander? Or the
No, I don't know what he did with the Skylander, but he had some, like,
for
me it was like...
complaining about eBay.
Yeah, Lauren just threw them both up on eBay, and they went pretty quickly. And I guess there was like a magical window to hit, but yeah, I have the original 32 and a couple, like I got the Flocked Stump Smash when they had the Frito-Lay giveaway, where they had a giveaway for figures where you basically would just call a phone number, and then they would tell you if you won, and then you'd give them your address, and then they'd send you Skylanders.
Was that a full Skylander?
Yeah, I got a Flocked Stump Smash, which is like a Stump Smash with fur.
Huh.
And then I got two other ones that I had dupes of. Well, now I have dupes of them because I got two of them for free. Mm. But the ones that, like, I think I have six or seven of the new ones. Yeah, because I have both of the new air characters, Jetpack and Swarm. I got Tree Rex, I got Crusher, I got Chill. Just like a water ice javelin thrower. And then Pop Fizz. Pop Fizz is probably my new favorite. I think I've told you about him before.
I think you have, yeah.
But he just gets cooler and cooler as I level him up. Because basically...
you haven't met max level yet?
No. Max level's 15. That takes a fucking long time.
Oh, wow.
It's great that it's there. I mean, even still, I think my highest level... I think my Cinder or my Ghost Roaster is at like 12 or 13 right now.
Are because any of your originals at 15?
Yeah, no.
Oh, wow.
Because I had a few at 10, but not too many. Cause, well, that's what happens when you have all 32.
Yeah.
Is that you balance out when you play of them. So I have like a ton of them are at like level 5 or 6. But the thing is that like it's different between gaining levels and gaining gold because you need to gain the gold to get new skills. But if you do kind of want to like go through and power level them, just play them on the 3DS game. I don't think I ever really used Trobot in the Wii version that much, but I used him in the 3DS version. He was like level 9 in like a day.
Wow.
But like, yeah, they definitely level up a lot faster on the 3DS version compared to the Wii version.
How do the skills transfer between 3DS and the Wii
version? They don't.
Okay.
So basically, like, on the 3DS version, all of the skill upgrades are tied to a level. So, like, it's like there's different tiers of it. Like, some of them, it'll be like you unlock new moves at like 2, 5, and 8. One, it'll be 3, 6, and 9, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know if there's going to be like a fourth move now that they can go up to 15 in Giants. But in Spyro's Adventure on 3DS, you know, they'd start off with 2 attacks, and then you would have like 3 other moves that you would unlock.
So, wait, so 15 is a new level cap?
Yeah, 10 was the previous level cap.
Oh, so did all the original Skylanders yes. get new moves?
No. Okay, so here's how this works. And I've seen some discrepancies about this and like people a little confused by it. So the Skylanders Giants and the brand new characters, you know, the ones that weren't in the first set, those only work with Giants. There are also a lot of reposed characters from the original that are being released as well. Like, I don't know what the official number it is, but out of the 32 original ones, I think it's something like 15 to 20 of them are getting reposed at least. Those repos and all the reposed characters and the originals can go to level 15 now. The difference is that the reposed characters can switch between both skill trees. So the way the game works is that, you know, you have your character, starts off with 2 moves. Then, you know, you gain gold, and then you can unlock. There's like 4 initial moves that, you know, then you can unlock. After you unlock those 4, you have to pick a skill path. And that's like when I was talking about Swarm earlier, where you could either focus on like his Bee Stinger attacks or focus on his Swarm attacks. And you have to pick either one or the other, and you can't go back unless you reset the character. But with the series 2 reposed characters, you can switch between both skills. Additionally, all of the reposed characters have one new move called a Wow Pow ability, which is just basically like, you know, it's a super powerful move. Some of the ones that I've seen are kind of ridiculously overpowered. For instance, Slam Bam, the four-armed Yeti, who has a move in which he skates around on an ice snowboard and wears sunglasses. His Wow Pow ability is that he will go, if you charge that move up where he skates around on an ice snowboard wearing sunglasses, he will go into an ice sleigh and go around, apparently.
Wow.
I haven't seen this. I want to, real bad.
I'm going to go Google it right after this.
I don't even know if it would be up, because...
That's true.
Maybe, I don't know. And then they also have the ability when they brought into an area for the first time, they'll have like a screen clearing move that will like damage all the enemies on screen at once. But you can only use that once per level. And then for all the original characters, they can just go up to level 15. Other than that, there's nothing changed about them.
So level 10 through 15, they just don't get anything new?
Yeah.
Okay.
But
increase at all? Or?
Yeah. I mean, their stats increase, but... I mean, for example, I have, you know, a couple guys, you know, level 10 and a little higher from the original set. I still don't have all of their moves unlocked. I mean, some of that's because I played them in the 3DS version where you don't gain gold to use to unlock moves. But even that, like, I think Ghost Roaster I played entirely on the Wii version. And I'm still saving up to get, like, his final attack. And he's, like, level 12 or 13. Because the last couple attacks naturally have a very high cost.
I can imagine.
But then, you know, you could get a big gold showering and then be able to do it. But yeah, I freaking love Skylanders, man.
All this Skylanders talk has gotten me so excited. Like, I was a non-believer for about a year, and then I don't know, something clicked like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I was ready. I was ready to be on board.
You know, don't buy the Skylanders out of your means. You know, show some self-restraint. That's what I'm going to be trying to do on Sunday. Show some self-restraint. I have a lot of new figures already. I don't need to go out and get Legendary Bouncer or buy the 3-pack and get Shroom Boom and the Golden Dragon Fire Cannon. I can just hold back.
Sounds like what you are going to do.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I really like the Giants because they light up. Like,
just go get one of the Light Core regulars.
But I don't want to rebuy it. Like, the Light Core regulars, I think it's, like, Eruptor, which, eh. Prism Break, which, eh. And I forget what the third one that's going to be in the first batch. You can check the checklist on NintendoWorldReport.com to see what's going to be out there on Sunday.
They do have Lightcore new Skylanders, right?
Yeah, but I don't think any of those are going to be available in the first set. I'm literally going to check to see. I wrote the article, but there's a lot of stuff that's going to be available on
this
Sunday.
This is new to me as well. I didn't realize that they released Skylanders in different waves.
Yeah.
Like, I guess they did that with the original 32.
Because the last Skylander, I think, came out in like April, something like that. Yeah.
Wow. That's really cool.
Because I think they had, like wave one, then wave two was at the end of 2012, then wave three was early 2011, then wave three was like early 2012. I think there might have been like two other waves. All right. So, there's Bouncer, who he's the tech giant. He looks really cool. He also looks like the Iron Giant to a degree. Actually, more like the Iron Giant than Crusher. I don't know what I was talking about when saying that Crusher looked like the Iron Giant. I guess his head does. What else is going to be out there? Pop Fizz. Total, all about Pop Fizz. Everyone should get Pop Fizz. There's no Lightcore new characters. All the Giants are Lightcore. And they look really cool because you put them on the portal and they light up and some of them look like they're staring at you and it's crazy. Oh, and Drobot, who has a very punny name, but I don't really like using him that much in the game.
He came out in wave one.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's the other light core. There's three that are available. Drobot, Eruptor, and Prism Break. I think Eruptor is really cool because he's the guy who just kind of like vomits himself into a pool of lava. And then what else is coming out that's cool? Terrafin. This will be the first time he's available not in an adventure pack. In the first series, and this is kind of cool, they had these three packs that it would come with a Skylander, a new level in the form of like a toy that you would then put on the portal and would unlock a new level in both the 3DS.
DLC.
Yeah. In the 3DS or the Wii version, it would have a new level, and it works across everything. So if you have a friend, you can just lend him your thing, and he can unlock the level on the PS3. So they had four of those. So they had four extra levels. And you can unlock those levels in Giants. As far as I know, it's the exact same level as was in the first one, but it's still cool that, you know, you can take your new figures through that level. So, you know, ostensibly that you have four new levels.
I wonder if that'll work with the Wii U version.
I would assume it would.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, cool. And I don't know if those will work. Those will unlock stuff in the 3DS version. I'll find out soon enough.
Yeah,
I mean, the Lightcore stuff is really cool. I'm a believer.
Too much of a believer sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I mean, if you have a kid, what the fuck are you doing? Be a good parent. Just get this game.
For yourself.
Yeah. Because it's the kind of game that you can play with your kid, and it's incredible. Because it's actually a good game. I don't have this excuse. I'm playing this shit by myself. I had friends over last week. I played a two-player competitive with one friend. And I was like, do you want to play some co-op? And he's like, no. I'm like, I guess I'll just play it by myself. You guys can leave. Like, do I have a problem? No, because I don't play StarCraft or Diablo. This is my StarCraft or Diablo. Skylanders, man. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater HD. That's my shit. I'm weird. I know.
I have nothing left to say after that. Skylanders.
Tony Hawk's Pro Skater HD. Kind of shitty. Still enjoyed it, but kind of shitty.
I don't like skateboarding games.
Yeah. I mean, you grew up at the wrong time.
I guess.
They were the shit in, like, 1999.
I mean, I played them at my friend's house, but eh.
I remember drinking lots of... I will assume Surge, because I really like Surge. Drinking a lot of Surge and playing Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1. And then playing Tony Hawk's Pro Skater on Game 3 on GameCube when I got the system. And then basically breaking it out every year or two, including like playing it in July, and that game still being incredible. I think Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 is the peak of extreme sports and video games.
and then all downhill from there.
Yeah, pretty much.
Kind of no pun intended, I guess.
Yeah, there was Tony Hawk's Downhill Jam, which was made by Toys for Bob, who developed Skylanders. I think we're done.
Yourself back around.
Yeah, we're done. I can't get any better than that. All right, if you have any Skylanders questions, totally, you know, write into connectivity@NintendoWorldReport.com or hit me up on Twitter at @Enron10. I pretty much write and talk about this anytime I can because I think it's awesome. I might do a Fave 5 Skylanders article soon. Ooh, that could be fun. Good. That's tough. It's really hard to pick out 5.
I feel like Pop Fizz is going to be on there.
I think Pop Fizz might make it. I like Tree Rex a lot too. I got to use him a little more, feel him out. I mean, Ghost Roaster he's like my supreme. I think I beat like the last couple levels with him in the first.
He's one I haven't heard you really talk about. Although yeah. I didn't talk to you very much when you were playing the original.
Basically, he's like a skeleton ghost character. He has a mace on his tail. And that's his normal attack, is he uses the mace to like beat people.
What do you think about Trigger Happy and Stealth Elf? I always hear about them.
So Trigger Happy is cool. I recommend getting the cowboy hat and putting it on his head because it just works.
What is that?
You get different hats and they're like they like modify their stats a little bit. And
just
also
in game hats.
Yeah.
Not like I didn't know if it was like a plastic hat.
Oh no. That would be cool though because I think all Trigger Happy should wear a cowboy hat. Because he's got two revolvers, you know, he shoots the pistols. He also can, like, throw pots of golds that explode. And then he has a minigun. So Trigger Happy's pretty cool. And then Stealth Elf, she is an elf that is stealthy. Her basic attacks are, like, she has these two things that I swear look like bananas on the figure, but they're really supposed to be, like, two teeth that she's using to attack people, or, like, blades of some sort. And that's her basic attack. And that's her B attack is she'll like leave a scarecrow of herself and then like be able to like, you know, move around. And I think like you can build a scarecrow to like maybe make it attack or something. I don't have her fully leveled up. And then her third attack is she'll just kind of like do like a ninja roll out of the way. But then as you build that up, then you can do these combos where like it'll be like, I think it's like AAZ or AAB. And if you do one of them, it'll be like just like this like super concentrated flurry of attack, and one of them will like leave like a poison cloud. I like Stealth Elf a lot. She's pretty cool.
But I can't wait to talk more Skylanders. Yeah, since I've played it.
I'm up for doing this like every week. Won't lie.
Everything you said this episode went over my head.
Yeah, like I mean, it's so much fun. We really should end this. Sorry, whoever's editing this. It's going long. And it's just like me being like, man, I wish I was playing Skylanders right now. But it's good.
That's what I've been saying all week.
Everyone should play this game. It's that fucking good.
I guess they just have to decide whether to get it now or wait for Wii U.
Yeah. I mean, I would say wait for Wii U.
It's a launch game, right?
Yeah. I think it's going to be hot as shit on Wii U.
Probably.
Yeah, that's an episode.
Yeah.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Hey guys, this is Andrew Brown and Nicholas Bray.
Hey.
And welcome.
Hello.
Catch off there. Yeah, welcome to Connectivity. We're going to be talking about the EB Expo that was held down here in Australia the second year in a row. Last year I got to go up to Queensland on the Gold Coast with Nick there. And at the time, it was an interesting experience. It wasn't all that Nintendo-y, but I'm curious to know how it changed. I didn't get to go to the Sydney Expo that happened this year, and I'm really interested to find out, was it better? What happened? So, what was it like as opening comments there?
Okay, well, the expo itself seemed to be a bit better run than last year. Basically, they had sort of big gates, like, further away from the convention center, so they sort of did all the ticketing stuff further away from where the lines were formed. So it all went really smoothly, and I think they even opened like 10 minutes early or something and started letting people in. So the line basically just flew right in pretty much. In terms of the Nintendo booth, it's like night and day from last year. Last year it was basically what they'd taken around to the shopping centers for the connection tours, like even the same sort of booth setup and all the demos and stuff. This year it was more like an E3 sort of setup, like a big sort of booth. It was like a massive screen out the front, a giant Wii U logo, sort of a glass prism for the Just Dance area. You could sort of go upstairs and play 3DS stuff. It was like a much, much bigger space this year.
Nice. In terms of the size of the actual the convention, was it bigger than last year?
Apparently they had more people come in than last year. It was like 30,000 or something this year. I think it was slightly less last year, but the space itself was probably about the same size as last year. Maybe it's hard to tell, really, but
so like a standard convention.
Yeah, standard sort of convention area. It was all set out fairly easy. It was pretty easy to walk around, and I don't know if you remember last year with the EB store, how it was really small. This year it was like, I don't know, four times the size.
Oh, wow. So, for those who didn't catch the connectivity about last year's session, they had this little store in the middle of the expo center. It was like this tiny little, I don't know, I guess you could call it like an airport shop.
It's one of those
extremely small things with like one entry, one exit. And the queue was wrapped up all the way around the building, and it was impossible. It was like an hour to get into the store to look around, and they didn't have all that much stuff. So you buy one or two things, and then you're out again. And then if you think, oh crap, I forgot to buy that, you got to go line up again or whatever. It was really poorly designed.
Yeah,
but it was a lot bigger this year. And did they have some cool stuff?
Just sort of knickknacks mostly. Like that, you could buy like some games. I had a little small selection of games you could buy. Nintendo stuff was like just like shirts and the belt buckles and those sort of things again. It didn't really see anything that sort of caught my eye this year. The only thing I went in, the only reason I really actually sort of went in looking for something was the Sega booth people were wearing these really cool like retro Sonic shirts, and I was like, oh, maybe they're selling them here, but it wasn't, they weren't.
So games, what did they have on show? I mean, of course this was Australia's big Wii U debut.
They had, I think it was like 12 games all up. They had Nintendo Land, Zombie U, Just Dance 4, New Super Mario Brothers U, like Arkham Asylum, Assassin's Creed, Scribblenauts, Rayman Origins. Yeah. I actually did play a bit of Rayman Origins, just like one level. It was more like the fast-paced platforming stuff. I used the Pro controller for that, and it was pretty fun. The main thing was the Pro controller was surprisingly way more comfortable than I thought it would be. Have you held the Pro controller yourself yet?
I haven't had a chance. I've only used the gamepad as of yet.
Like, I don't know, it seems more comfortable than a 360 controller to me. Like, just in the sort of the standard, you have your thumbs on the sticks sort of position. Pushing the buttons and stuff was still comfortable, but like, it's a bit fuzzy. Like, on my memory,
Is it like slightly different button placements?
No, it's just
like
the because the buttons are sort of located below the sticks now. It's like it's still comfortable, but it's just you have to adjust to it slightly, I think.
Yeah, I'm trying to look around behind me to see my 360 controller, which I haven't touched in 6 months. But
yeah, the having the sticks above it isn't really a problem, but also I think it ended up being more comfortable than say the PlayStation stick layout is because the distance between the two sticks was further apart. I don't know why that would make much of a difference, but it seemed to. Like, I think that was one of the main reasons it's more comfortable.
Cool. I'm really looking forward to getting my hands on it myself. I mean, I do have a 360, and I'm curious to see how it stacks up. I mean, it looks like it was modeled directly after the 360 controller, and I would assume it's for those hardcore gamer types who want to play stuff that was ported from 360 or from the other consoles, and still have a similar control scheme. It's good for Nintendo to be doing that sort of thing, because a lot of these games where people started developing for the 360 or whatever, and then they wanted to do a Wii version, they had to completely retool the controls or whatever. And in this case, it's not all that much of a different task.
Yeah, another thing I noticed with the sticks, though, was it seemed like they felt a little recessed compared to other analog sticks on other consoles. Like, I don't know if it was because the molded plastic around the base of the stick was a bit higher than usual, but it felt like they were sort of inserted down a bit more. So it felt like it was a little, shallower holding it. I'm not sure.
So further down into the controller itself.
Yeah, the sticks sort of like don't seem to not stick out in like above the controller as much as maybe some other consoles.
Is it anything like the circle pad? Just with a stick underneath.
No, it's not a circle pad really, but like it's still a stick. It just felt a little shallower than what I was used to. I think I don't know. I'll have to see when I get it again. Like, get it later in the year.
Interesting. Yeah, I need to head down to Nintendo Australia and have a demo as soon as I can. But I digress. What was your favorite game, I'm sure?
Favorite game? I don't know. Probably Nintendo Land, really. I think all the games were pretty fun in Nintendo Land.
Were you surprised by that?
Not really.
You were expecting Nintendo Land to be awesome?
Well, I wasn't super like against Nintendo Land really from before, but I liked the Wii Sports and all that. So, I had more fun with it than say like Mario, the new Super Mario Brothers U, because like it was a it's Mario, so it wasn't really all that new. But
yeah, the reason I asked that is the general consensus seems to be from those who attended E3 earlier in the year. I mean, I was there when they revealed Nintendo Land during the presentation. Everyone was saying, "Why are you spending 20 minutes talking about this Luigi's Mansion game? This looks like another party game. What are you doing? Where's my Metroid? Where's my Zelda?"
Yeah.
Etc. I mean, it's old news. We all know this. But then those who actually got the chance to head to the demo and play Nintendo Land were gobsmacked and put in their place. And maybe not so much as myself, but that seems to be the general opinion.
Like, when I was watching the conference at E3, I was just saying, I was like, oh, this is sort of boring and like, mini games and stuff. But like, over the past few months, you see more of it and you sort of get more excited about what it will be like obviously having people around to play with you is pretty much like the main draw. Like, it's going to be way more fun in multiplayer. My favorite game in Nintendo Land was probably the Zelda game, because I really liked using the gamepad as the using it for the bow and arrow. It was really cool.
Yeah. And you said you played that with the Nintendo is that right?
Because they weren't demoing the Zelda game like the other ones. for the general public, it seemed. I don't know if that changed on the previous day or the day after or something, but...
Yeah, that's so weird. That was one of the strongest games in Nintendo Land, and they don't have it there for people to play. Yeah, and
it
was.
It seemed to be like a really dumb reason. Like, I think they could have had one machine dedicated to the Zelda game, and it would have been fine. But they seemed to just want to run because they had in the two Nintendo Land sections. They had one section for the single player games, which was the DK Crash Course and the Takamaru Ninja Castle game. And the other multiplayer section was only Luigi's Mansion and Animal Crossing Sweet Day, so those ones are like sort of similar in a way as well. So, like, yeah, because Zelda was three player, so that was apparently the reason why they didn't want to run it. So, I don't.
That's odd. Maybe it was just a technical problem. Maybe that demo was wonky for them.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
So
you got to play each of the five games they had on show?
I played all of them. I think my least favorite one might have been Luigi's Mansion, though. It was still fun, but...
Oh, it was so fun, though.
I played as both. I tried both out.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I found the Animal Crossing one to be a bit more fun. I don't know. I think it was because it was set in a wider arena or something. But.
And we've just found out there's going to be another Pac-Man-style game in there as well with the Mario chase. My least favorite from what I played, I mean, it's a little sketchy. It's been a few months since I've played it, but it would have been the Takamaru's Ninja Castle. It was a really fun game. It's just the paper shuriken that you throw move extremely slowly, and so instead of, aiming at the enemies, you would always have to preemptively aim to where the enemies are going to be moving to, and there weren't very many situations at all where there was a stationary enemy that you could just aim for just off the bat. You would always have to be like, all right, where's he going to move next?
I didn't have that problem. My hit ratio was at almost 80%, I think. And flicking, I could flick them pretty fast. I don't know.
Yeah, it wasn't so much the flicking, but once they were flying towards the screen, they seemed to move extremely slowly.
Oh, you mean the ones coming towards you, or the ones you're shooting?
No, the ones you throw. Once they appear on the big screen, they hover towards the enemies really slowly.
I don't know, because I was, I noticed that a few times because I sort of got a bit lazy and didn't flick it as quickly, but when I was sort of doing it fast, it, I don't know, it worked. They went pretty fast for me, so.
Yeah, not to say it's a bad game or anything. I enjoyed that almost as much as the rest of Nintendo Land, and the least favorite out of a spectacular looking game is still
The only thing that happened with me was the gamepad sort of stuffed up on the boss battle for that game, and I didn't get to finish it.
You were hyperactive and wiggling it around, and
lost calibration and didn't come back, so they had to reset it.
Yeah, that happened for me when I played Arkham Asylum, but I'll get to that in a sec. But I think we should coin a new term here, like Wii U jitters or something. You get over enthusiastic about a game and it loses calibration. I hope this isn't going to be a common thing. It's going to have websites about it, like the people throwing their Wii remotes to the TV when that first launched. I'm predicting it now, right here on Nintendo World Report. You saw it here first.
Okay, so I guess we'll briefly talk about Mario as well. Because I played that in multiplayer. I didn't get to try it out just sort of by myself. It was pretty fun. The graphics looked really nice. Everything was super sharp and... the background art was really good.
Yeah, in terms of gameplay, it looks similar to the other three New Super Mario Brothers games. I mean, that's not a bad thing by any standards. I can't wait for it. It's more freaking Mario, and it's more amazing level design, amazing tight controls, amazing fun that we're used to. You can complain about it until the cows come home about how new Super Mario Brothers is getting stale or whatever, or Mario oversaturation, whatever. It's Mario. I'm going to get it. I'm going to play it. I'm going to love it. In terms of what's new, though, the graphics, the HD graphics are amazing. I really liked the high def backgrounds. I mean, they seem to have sort of a cartoony feel to them, similar to, I don't know, Mario World. And it's the first time that they've changed the art style slightly in a Mario game since the first new Super Mario Brothers came along. And from what I saw in the short demos that we got to play and the videos since then, it does look really nice. The new power-ups, did you get to play with the squirrel?
Yeah, squirrel suit and stuff. That was pretty fun. Yeah, I don't know, it was pretty fun.
There were the... there's the baby Yoshis.
Oh, yeah,
Yoshis,
the blow, inflate the
again,
Yoshis.
Again, for the first time since...
Yoshis and fly around. That was fun.
Yeah. What really more is there to say about it? I mean,
I think going back to the Mario graphics as well, I think a lot of the foreground elements, like the, you know, the grass, you know, the stuff you stand on, was it seemed a bit sharper or flatter, like more 2D than it was in previous games. Like I think it was
overly
more
cartoony style. Yeah.
The landscapes were a bit more flatter and cartoony as well, which was good. Zombie U, I guess I'll talk about next.
Yes, I'm sad to say I didn't get much of a chance to play that at E3. I was in I waited and got to a demo presentation, and then I was called away. I had an appointment somewhere else, and I had to run after like a minute or two. What I did see, it looked amazing. What are your thoughts?
Well, I played it twice. I played it once, like when I sort of just got there, and sort of played through a bit of it and ended up dying, so I ended up just sort of going away and doing something else. I came back later and I was a bit better at it, but I think the main thing is switching between your inventory on the gamepad and your interaction with the TV is what really like sort of makes it feel new and different, because when I was first hearing about that sort of feature, I sort of just passed over it, saying, oh yeah, well, you know, that's just like, that's okay, like they've done that sort of thing before. But I found the difference was that you really couldn't look at the TV screen, even in your sort of peripheral vision at all, so it really did sort of raise the tension. And because whenever you're looking at your inventory, like the game's still going, so it was quite easy to be like things to sneak up on you and stuff like that. I found that felt pretty fresh.
Yeah, the checking your inventory to manage items or like hack a control panel or whatever, and all that happening in real time isn't something that's particularly new in the games, but it was implemented really well, and in the sense that there's always danger around in this game, and even just looking up on what you're carrying at the time or whatever, it's always, there's always the element of you could die at any second. And one particular thing from the E3 trailer that I liked was trying to bust in through an electronic lock on a door, and you constantly have to keep turning around to looking at this horde of zombies that's getting closer and closer behind you. And then as you try to figure out the button combination, and that was that in what you got to play?
I didn't really get that far. I was sort of just like walking around some building and sort of like walking around and exploring, and I was coming up with zombies and stuff. Like I died like fairly easily both times. But one thing that I would get over it if I played from the start, like played the full game. But one of the things I kept doing was when zombies were sort of like getting on top of me and or coming closer and stuff, I would ended up hitting the wrong shoulder buttons. So instead of sort of getting ready, you know, looking down your sights to shoot or whatever, I was spinning around or opening the inventory, I think. One of the, yeah, whatever the shoulder, the top two shoulder buttons do, I was doing that instead of, you know, trying to shoot them. And I was like, oh, damn. For some reason, it felt more natural to try and use, like, shoot with the whatever the opposite buttons were.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't quite remember the control script.
Because I think, yeah, I'm pretty sure the, you know, you raised your gun with the left trigger and then fired with the right trigger. And I was sort of pushing the, you know, the two top buttons, like the normal buttons, the shoulder buttons, instead. Ubisoft had a giant red bus in the showroom floor as well. The Zombie U. Mm.
That's pretty cool. It seems they're getting more into the E3 big demo. I don't know, the costume people, the special guests, the cool layout. Yeah, I'm disappointed I didn't get to come this year. I would have liked to have seen how it changed.
Yeah, we didn't speak about it. Yeah, Charles Martinet was there as well, so that was cool.
Absolutely. So what was he doing? Like, people were able to just go say hi, or was he giving out, like, prizes?
They didn't seem to utilize him all that much. I don't know if he was sort of running around outside of the Nintendo booth doing stuff, or he may have done, like, a panel in, like, the EB Live thing. But basically, I think it was, like, you know, 11 o'clock or 10:30 or something, you know, probably 11 o'clock, he was sort of taken into the Mario section of the Nintendo booth, and they set up a table, and he had a whole bunch of posters and things. Like, you could go up and meet him and have a photo, and he will sign a poster and stuff for you. I was going to take 3D Land, but I forgot to take it with me.
Ah, damn. What were the posters?
There were like it was like a giant one where it had one side it was Mario 3D Land, and the other side it was Mario Kart 7. And the posters are surprisingly high quality. Like, the whatever the sort of paper they printed on was quite thick. It wasn't sort of cheap and flimsy, which was pretty cool.
Nice, nice. Having met him a couple of times before, I have to say he's an awesome guy. He reminds me of Robin Williams.
Yeah, I can see that, yeah.
in his personality and in his cheerfulness and all that. Yeah, there's not much else to say about him. He's an awesome dude.
I only saw him that one time. I didn't notice them, like, bringing him out again later on in the day or anything. I suppose they might have, but I didn't see him again.
Did you play any of the other third-party games besides Zombie U? You mentioned something about Sonic All-Star Racing.
Oh, yeah, Sonic. That was at the Sega booth, like... they had all three versions of the new Sonic All-Stars Racing game set up. So they had the PS3 version next to the Wii U version, and then it was the 360 version. And I'm pretty sure the PS3 one looked the best in terms of graphics on those demos. But it was very rough. They had, like, one track you could play. Like, the screen was sort of, whenever the camera turned, all the art assets sort of blurred and, like...
Colour bleeding.
A bit of colour bleeding. Like, the shadows under the carts were, like, sort of really pixelated, and, you know, it was really rough. But the game still felt, like, it still felt really good. Like, controlling it was really fun still. So it's not much to say on that one, because they basically had one track on display. And
how weird that they've got the different console versions right next to each other. I guess it's so you can see the direct comparison between them, but...
Well, it was sort of like... because the setup they had was sort of like in a circle. So even though they were next to each other, they were sort of off at angles as well, so...
Maybe it's just so you could, like, I don't know, I want to play that game, but I'll pick a controller that suits me. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. They only had one of each, so I had to wait a little while to actually get a go at the Wii U version, but it was fun.
Nice, nice. Well, it seems like overall the expo was handled a lot better and much better quality than what was on show last year.
Yeah. Well, it helped a lot that Nintendo actually had new stuff to show, and
as opposed to stuff we knew about 6 months before. Yeah.
Yeah, even though like we have tons of impressions of all the games that I saw already on the site, like.
At least it was stuff that hasn't been to Australia before or hasn't been shown to the public in
Australia.
Yeah,
that was the main thing last year, because I think I would have enjoyed the EB Expo more last year if they hadn't done the Connection Tour 2 weeks before and I'd sort of already played Skyward Sword and all the demos they had there already. So
yeah.
It was pretty good.
Nice. Well, that leaves me with high hopes for what next year's is going to be like.
Yeah, they'll be back at Sydney next year. I thought they might have, moved it around the country down to Melbourne or something. But it seems like they're just going to stick with Sydney for the time being.
All right, well, I will hope to come to the expo next year. Hopefully I'll be able to get up to Sydney there and check it out. By then, it all depends on whether I'm going to E3 or not. Who knows? Nintendo are keeping us all on our toes over this next year.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll wrap it up here. Okay. So thanks, guys, for listening, and you'll hear from us again soon.
See you later.
Ciao.
Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Don't forget you can send listener mail questions to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com, and if you've got a chance, please rate and review us on iTunes. See you next week.